Good morning and welcome to worship this morning as we worship our one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's great to be with you this morning. I am Reverend Corrine Borov, and assisting me in leading worship today will be Susan Doe, Ron Watson, and Elizabeth Murray Sharon. Our music will be offered to us by our gifted and talented Wesley Corral. Greater Than is our stewardship series theme. We have been in that now. This is the third week. There are additional wristbands. If you neglected to pick one up last week, you are still welcome to. The wristbands are out on the Welcome Center. There's a variety of five colors, and they're available for you to take. Several took some to share. You are welcome to. The message that's signed on those, the symbols represent God is greater than the highs and lows. However, that also translates God is greater than everything. So we want to celebrate that as we worship our God today. Next Sunday, October 5th, is our stewardship celebration. During worship, the estimate of giving cards will be received as a part of the worship service. You have been mailed those, and you will be receiving them. There will also be cards available at the back of the sanctuary when you come, that you too can participate in what God is doing here in 2026. So we thank you for your prayerful consideration in this. After the worship service, there will be a meal, and that will be catered for us down in Fellowship Hall. So invite all of you to come and join us in that, just a time of fellowship and being the church together. Fall Palooza is coming up October 18th. Fall Palooza will be from 12 to 2 at Davis Park. This is a large community effort sponsored by this church and supported by the church. If you would like to participate by volunteering, you're welcome to contact Allie Hall for whatever she yet needs. Several of you have already volunteered, but we still can use more. And then also participate in the actual event. Come and enjoy what is being offered at Davis Park that day. One other announcement, this is an announcement of sympathy. I was asked to share with you by Mary Bean that her husband, Jerry, died yesterday, and she is asking for your prayers and your support during this time of loss. So we do want to remember Mary. Let us now stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. As we return to our seats, let us center our hearts for worship.
Good morning. Please stand as you are able for the call to worship. Give thanks and praise to the Lord.
For God has dealt mercifully with us.
Even when we turned our backs on God,
God forgave us and restored us to life.
Rejoice in God's abundant love.
We will continually praise God who loves and cares for us. Praise God.
may be seated. Corrine asked me a few weeks ago to speak about why I give my time and treasures to the church. And if you know me, you know I'm so ridiculously busy. So I printed out the prayer and everything 2 weeks ago, stuck it in my purse, forgot all about it till I got here this morning, and saw my name in the program. But I had it, and I already knew what I was going to say. 55 years is how long I've been alive, and 55 years is how long I've been coming to this church. When I was little, there were two full services every Sunday, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. And as a child, I remember being in the basement, and those rooms were filled with Sunday school classes. And it was always safe, and it was always fun. As I was growing up, I went through confirmation for 2 years, and the kids that were in youth group, and if any of you have kids that are my age or close to it, just know that we ran these halls like wild animals on Sunday nights. But we knew we were safe. We knew we were loved. We were learning about the Lord. This church made it so that I could go to Epworth Forest in the summer and go to church camp where I first asked Jesus to be in my heart. Every single Sunday morning in high school, I had to be here at 8:30 because we sang in the 9 o'clock service. The high school kids did. High schoolers don't get up early. So, but anyway, made it through, graduated from college, had my own kids a few years later, and they had a place here. They were loved. They felt safe. There were lots and lots of activities when my kids were little. Fast forward to me going through a divorce and a rough time, and the people in the church were always here, always, you know, asking me, how you doing, things like that. Then my sister got sick in 2020 with cancer. She also ran these halls like a wild animal, not as much as I did, but that during that time it was really hard. She lived in Illinois, but this church really wrapped their arms around my whole family until she passed. We came back here for a second funeral and, you know, had a beautiful dinner. Everyone was here. Then my dad got sick a couple years ago, and same thing. The church has always wrapped their arms around us like they do everyone. My mom and I feel so loved and taken care of in every way, spiritually. A few years ago, Sue kept saying, "Don't you sing? Don't you sing?" And I was like, "Yeah, I sing." So I finally joined the choir, and I absolutely love it, but those are just some of the reasons I give back. Just the church has always been here for me. You guys have always been here for me, and it is time for me to give back for the rest of my time and help others. Thank you.
Come ye sinners.
seated. Please join me in a word of prayer. God of overflowing blessings, we offer up these, our tithes and offerings, in trust and expectation that from them your love may be poured out in this community and the world. Guide us in serving others so that one day no one will have to worry about necessities, but all might know and live in the abundance only you make possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please be in an attitude of prayer with me as I offer up our prayers that I think we have to offer God. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning with our sins and humility. We ask you to intercede the chaos we find throughout our world today. Give us space and grace for those of us that have different opinions than ours. Help us to understand that we need to let go and let God help us with our problems. We were given a guide many years ago by John Wesley, of what we can do in this world, as flawed and sinful as this world is, which includes us. His thoughts were this to us today: do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, and all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. If we can follow that, we'll be okay. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Bible reading today comes from the Old Testament, Malachi 3, verse 7 through 10. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings? You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Please stand as you are able, in body and spirit, out of respect for the gospel, which comes from Luke 16, 10, 13. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be honest with much. So, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly affairs, who will you trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is God's word for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
You may remember, those of you at least my age or a little bit older, You may remember that there were two chain stores that kind of are like our Walmart and Meijer today. They had everything, and they were Newberry's and Woolworth's, and they had everything in them. And even today, you can go to Walmart, Meijer, and you can buy your clothing, and you can buy your food, and you can even buy furniture there. You can get everything. But if you remember, many years ago, the stores used to also include a pet section, not just pet food or pet supplies, but actual pets. And at that time, back in the 60s and 70s, there were those little green turtles that you could buy. You may remember those. Those were a pet for a child that their family didn't want a big cat or a dog. And so the little green turtles were a solution to that. And they also, they sold fish, they sold a wide variety of little reptiles, and among those was a crocodile. They would sell crocodiles in those stores, and it was a little, it was labeled as a croc in a box, and they, yeah, a croc in a box, and it was just this little crocodile, and it was a true crocodile. It was probably from a South American caiman, which is a type of crocodile, and it had the bug eyes and the long snout, and at that stage of life, it was just very small teeth, not the large teeth that the larger crocodiles have, and it had the tail that would flail back and forth, and it was truly a crocodile, and you would feed it insects or minnows. And the crocodile in the wild grows 1 foot every year. And in the wild, because circumstances, there are challenges for survival, in the wild, the crocodiles grow 15 to 20 feet long. So they grow for 15 to 20 years. However, in a protected environment, these crocodiles, where they're receiving all the nourishment they need and it's protected from any predator that might prey on them or insects that might infest them with something, if they were just extremely protected and well-fed and nourished, they would grow indeterminate length. There have been some 30 to 40 feet in length, and they continue to grow until the end of their life in that situation. So why in the world would Woolworth and Newberry sell crocodiles to little kids when they were taking home something that could grow into a creature that could eat them and their whole family? Doesn't it seem crazy? Well, they got away with it with one statement on the box. Never, ever keep the crocodile out of the box. And the caveat, always keep the crocodile in the box. Because you see, when the crocodile is in the box, it grows only as large as the box. A confined space, a confined growth. Which is very interesting because you see, our minds and our souls are kind of like a crocodile. If we are well fed and nourished in spirit, if we have all that we need and a safe place to grow in, our growth is indeterminate. We can expand and grow way beyond ourselves, way beyond what we can imagine. But by the same token, if we stay in our comfortable boxes, there is no growth. But that's not how God created us. But there's a draw to being comfortable, right? In fact, that's part, by definition, comfort is something that we enjoy, There is no stress when we're in our comfort zones. We're not being challenged. There is no change. It's all very familiar to us. And so it's easy to choose to just stay comfortable. It's easy. It's comfortable, right? That word's great. And yet, the opposite of that is God's abundance. You see, when we have God's abundance at work in our lives, it calls us to risk. Risk the unknown. To risk what might keep us, what's keeping us safe. I mean, we don't know that we're going to be safe if we do what God calls us to do. I mean, what if? The what ifs take over. What if there's not enough for me and everybody else that I'm trying to share with? What if I'm going to need it later? What if there's a better situation that comes up? What if we're going to just keep doing this and I'm never going to get anything in return? What if? What if, what if? Some of you may watch the show Survivor. I've had the past 2 years, two of my children compete in the Indiana Survivor. Before my son competed in it last year, I had to watch the show, kind of binge watch, because I had no clue what it was. But Survivor is a television show. Somebody asked me when I said my daughter's doing this, they said, oh, she's not naked, is she? Not that one. No. Not at all. But on the show Survivor, they're on an island and they're in a community that they don't know anyone in their little community that they're assigned to. And they have to build that community. They have to build their shelters. They have to provide their own food. They have certain challenges that take place. And it's all new and unknown. And they try to survive not only the elements and survive in a relationship that's new, but they also have to survive what's called tribal council. And tribal council is where the tribe, their new community, votes someone out. That's how they eliminate people from the competitions, from the island, so that they have a smaller core and they get down eventually to one winner. On this show, there is something called the immunity idol. And the immunity idol is a little something that's hidden someplace on the island, and you just might happen to find one. And it's a little object that you can use to protect yourself or someone else from being voted off the island. It's a protection that you have. It's interesting that there are, out of the 47 seasons now, we're starting the 49th one on television. It just began airing again. But out of 47 seasons, there have been 27 times since they introduced idols. I don't know that they had those at the beginning of the show. But 47 seasons, there's been 27 people that were voted off the island, but they had an idol. It was comfortable to have that idol. I mean, what if they were going to need it later on down the road? What if they could use it and leverage help from someone? What if, what if, what if? And it didn't protect them. They took no risk. And they lost out. And you see, we have this situation also in nature, where people, we are called not necessarily, we are created not for the comfortable or the comfort zones that we place ourselves in. We were created for change and challenge. When I first started my undergrad at Ball State University, and I had decided on one occupation that I was headed for and decided that was not the occupation to go, I went to a science lab. It was one of those general study labs, and you could just go in, and it was all lab. It was called Biology 101, and I could go in the lab any time I scheduled it myself. There was no instructor. It was all computerized, which in my day, that was kind of a cool thing all by itself. And it was computerized, but you did the lab work there that they had set up at different stations. I fell in love with God all over again when I looked through a microscope. And there, for the very first time, I saw an amoeba, a living creature who was eating, who was swimming around, having the time of their life, and they were one cell big. It just blew my mind away that there's a whole nother world beyond what we can see with our eyes. Well, even the little amoeba, there's research that's been done, an experiment that I did that proved this. You give an amoeba everything it needs in its little amoeba world. The temperature is correct. The fluid is just right. You feed it what it needs to have to eat. You make sure that that's introduced into the environment. You give it just the perfect setting, just enough light, just enough darkness. The little amoeba, even though it's living in this stress-free, very comfortable environment, dies. And that's like our minds and our souls. We were created for change and challenge. And God's abundant grace, God's abundant blessings, God's abundant life and love for us calls us to a life of change and challenge rather than a life of comfort. That's where we get the title this morning, Abundance is Greater Than Comfort. God's abundance is so much greater than our comfort. So much greater than living and boxing ourselves into that. And that's what we see. And everyone can step into God's abundance. Everyone can take the risk of what is unknown in their lives. Take the risk with their time, talents, their treasures. Because we have a God we can trust. A delightful story of someone who kind of took God up on that. His name was George Dawson, and he ended his life in 2001. But George Dawson was originally from a slave family, and he had a great life. He lived to 103. And he tells his story in a book that he actually, a short book that he actually wrote about his life experience. However, George could not read until the age 100. He decided that everybody around him, he'd been married, his wife had done all the finances, she had done all the reading for them that they needed, and they had plugged along that way. But George had never learned. And he decided that God was calling him to be more at 100 years old, to be more than he was right then. And he decided that meant that he was supposed to read. And so at 100, he learned to read and write. And in his own words, he says, "The most thrilling thing of my entire life, the most thrill that I've ever had, was writing my own name. For 100 years I'd written X. And now I could write my own name." And he wrote a short book about that life, between 100 years old and 103. We don't know what God's gifts of abundance in our lives are going to bring out in us, or what God is going to call us to. could be a million things, as much as God's imagination is. God could call us, and that's risky. We don't kind of like the unknown. What if, God, what if I need what I'm giving you or giving someone else? What if I need that? Know that God provides. There's a wonderful story. I've been told it's true. I don't have any documentation of that. But a wonderful story about a man. His name was Brian Robinson. And Brian Robinson was driving home one day from work in his kind of beat up jalopy. And he worked at, he was just a hands-on. And so he was kind of grungy looking and dirty. He probably smelled sweaty. And he was driving along and he saw a woman standing by her car. Obviously, she'd had a flat tire and no phone to make any calls. This was before that. And so she'd been standing out there, and he pulled up, and she looked kind of afraid because this was a kind of a rattly old car, and the guy getting out looked kind of grungy. And so she kind of cowered away from him, and he said, I'm Brian Anderson, and I'm just here to help fix your tire. If I can do that for you, I'd be glad to. Why don't you sit in the car so that you're comfortable? So she did. And he fixed her tire, changed the tire, and tapped on the window, and she lowered the window, and he said, I'm all done. Is there anything else that you need before I go home? And she said, well, how much do I owe you? And she was expecting just to get, just because she had some wealth, and it showed in her vehicle, and it showed in her dress, she thought he would just kind of gouge her for whatever he could get. And he said, oh, you don't owe me anything. That's what good people do for other people. They help where there's a need. And he said, there is one thing you can do, because she just kept insisting. She said, Brian Robinson, that's your name, right? What can I do for you then? And he said, you can, next time you see someone else in need, you help them. Well, it was maybe an hour down the road. She stopped at a restaurant. The waitress that was waiting on her was, she just looked very drawn and haggard, and it was very obvious that she was expecting, and she was putting in a whole lot more hours and energy than she could actually afford to put in at work. And so when she began to leave, she left a $100 bill as the tip. And the waitress, seeing her, followed her out and said, I think you made a mistake. You may have meant a lower bill, a 1 or a 10 even, but here, this is a $100 bill. And she goes, oh, no, that's yours. I want you to keep it. And so the waitress went back to the table and was cleaning off the table, and on the napkin was a note written, I saw someone in need, so I decided that I could help. And underneath the napkin were three other $100 bills. That night, when the waitress finally got to leave work, it was late. Her husband, when she got home, was already in bed. She crawled into bed. She leaned over and she kissed him. You see, life was hard. A baby on the way. They just didn't have much to share with a new life coming in. And she leaned over and she gave her husband a kiss on the cheek, and she said, Brian Robinson, we're going to be okay. When we give out of God's abundance to us, God does take care of us. God provides for us too. God's abundance isn't just that we give and we give and we give and we give. God doesn't want to deflate us or ruin us. God wants to fulfill us. And it's only when we live into God's abundant life for us, live into those blessings, live into that love and the life that God gives us, do we truly experience life, love, and the blessings. Only then can we grasp when we give. As we continue our stewardship series, I ask you to prayerfully consider how you are living in a God's abundance in your life. Because you see, if you are living in God's abundance, God is calling you to change and challenge. God is calling you to grow, not like a crocodile in a box. You're not supposed to stay there. Stay in that little comfortable box you have around you. You are to grow and experience and live into God's abundance fully in your life. We are going to sing together, Freely, Freely. And it's a commitment song on our part that God gives to us so freely out of God's abundance, and we receive it so fully. But remember, as we do, we are called to change and challenge. Following our hymn together, we will share in a litany of generosity, a litany of stewardship led by Elizabeth. So I invite you to join me in singing and our litany.
As we leave to prayerfully consider ourselves as children of God, called to be faithful stewards of all God entrusts to us, I invite you to join me in the litany of stewardship. God, who sees behind appearances to the heart, we know that one of the biggest obstacles we face in living in your kingdom is our own self-interest. We know that we must learn to regard money as a tool and not a prize. Help us to reject the ways of the world, to resist dishonesty and exploitation. Vengeance and competition, power seeking and violence wielding. Yours is an altogether different economy in which mercy is valued over judgment. Care for the least is valued over self-promotion. Meekness is valued over popularity. Generosity is valued over accumulation. Spiritual riches are valued over financial wealth. God, help us apply your values to our lives. Amen.
Let us stand for the benediction. Living in God's abundance, there is no point at which our hearts become too tender, our minds become too filled with wisdom, or our souls become fully saturated with the power and love of God. You are limitless in God's abundance. Go and live a limitless life. Amen.